Hey guys, thanks for tuning in today. You know this message that you're about to hear. I pray that it not only inspires you, but encourages you to follow Jesus even more. In fact, there are probably people in your life who need to hear this timely word. Chances are you're thinking about them right now. Share this message with them. And listen, if you're watching on YouTube, let me encourage you to hit subscribe, stay tapped in. You know, I also want to take the time to thank all those who support us. We wouldn't have any ministry outside these four walls if it weren't for our friends who come alongside us in prayer and supporting us financially. You know, there are thousands who are benefited by this ministry because of your giving, and we thank you. To continue or to even start supporting our mission to help others and their families follow Jesus, you can give by visiting cfmiami.org/give. We also wanted to update you on something important. Recently, our on-demand services will be available starting Sunday evenings. To catch the entire service, be sure that you're logging onto our live streams when we begin services Sunday morning at 9 a.m., 10:45 a.m., and 12:30 p.m. Otherwise, you'll be catching the service midway through. Enjoy this sermon.
Amen. What a blessing. And you know, Christ Fellowship Academy has a special place in my heart. You know, you may not know this, but I grew up in a school, in a little private school, very similar to Christ Fellowship Academy. And where I came to know Christ was in the middle of a chapel in one of those Fridays. And I thought this morning, you know, how special it is that sometimes we think that God is only or mostly at work here in the weekends, you know, in the grandeur of a large gathering. But can I tell you, the Lord is at work even in the middle of our school, in the middle of a chapel. God is leading children towards Him. We've seen salvations and baptisms. What a great God that we serve. Can we praise God for what He has done? And so, man, if you're a teacher, staff, thank you so much, man. We love you, and we are blessed to have you. Well, welcome, everyone. My name is Omar, and I have the honor of serving as a pastor here at Christ Fellowship Church. And I want to welcome all of our campus right now that are joining us live all throughout Miami. It's a special thing that we get together in spirit and in truth to worship and to study God's Word together. So welcome if you're watching one of our local campuses as well. If you're watching online, thank you so much for tuning in. And today we are continuing our study through the book of Genesis in a series called Wrestling with God. And today the topic at hand is how to wrestle with the path to heaven. You know, how do we get to heaven? How can we know? Well, folks, we're going to learn today from God's Word. And so if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Genesis chapter 28. And wherever you find yourself, you can follow along with me as I read, all right? Listen to what God's Word says. So Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And notice carefully. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a what, church family?
Ladder.
A what?
Ladder.
Yeah, a ladder. A ladder set up on the earth, and the top reached to the what?
Heaven.
To heaven. In other words, when Jacob fell asleep in that journey, he saw a stairway to heaven. Amen? That is God's word. You can go and take a seat, everybody, at all campuses. And church, let me start off by sharing this with you. You know, as a boy growing up here in Miami, most of my friends used to listen to hip-hop music, right? But when I was in middle school, I had a friend by the name of Gian who was a little different than everybody else. He didn't listen to hip-hop. He actually listened to rock, specifically classic rock. Oh, yeah. And so, folks, he exposed me to all these different rock bands I had never heard of, but stay with me because one of Gian's favorite bands of all time had to be the band Led Zeppelin. How many of you have heard of Led Zeppelin? Yeah, many. Yeah, we're going way, way, way back, right? But, folks, here's a brief history of them. Led Zeppelin was a band from the late 60s, early 70s, and is widely considered as one of the greatest rock bands of all time. And folks, without question, their greatest hit, their greatest song they ever composed was a song by the name of Stairway to what?
Heaven.
To Heaven, yeah. Stairway to Heaven. Now, folks, if you've heard this song, you know the song Stairway to Heaven. You know it's a strange song with a lot of twists and turns in the lyrics. And folks, who knows what they were on back in the day, right? It was the 70s after all. But folks, everyone lean in, because the central theme of this song was of a young lady who was trying to get heaven. Oh yeah, she was trying to buy a stairway to heaven. And as you listen to the song goes how when the lady gets to that place, she thinks that she's going to be able to buy her way into heaven, but all the stores were closed. And when she gets to that place, she looks at a sign on the wall, and the sign could have two meanings. So she was not sure what to do. And then there's a songbird by the brook, and it's a little strange, right? Who begins to sing, the songbird begins to sing to tell her not to trust her thoughts, because our thoughts are misguided and misleading. Oh yeah. And so she doesn't know what to do. But folks, just so you can get a taste of what it was, take a listen to the first part of this song.
There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed, with a word she can get what she came for. Ooh, and she's buying a stairway. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure, 'cause you know sometimes words have two meanings. In a tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts are misguided.
Yeah, and as you go through the song, towards the end, it's one of the greatest guitar solos of all time, so I have a feeling some of you are going to check that out later on. But folks, do not miss those words at the end, right? The lyrics go, oh, makes me what?
Wonder.
That's right. In other words, when this young lady gets there, oh, she's wondering, what is the stairway to heaven? How do I get to heaven? And folks, let me just bring that over to our time today, because folks, what an example of how so many people in this world feel. And by that I mean that just like this girl thought she can buy herself to heaven, but she wasn't sure, right? She was wondering, what's the way to heaven? Just like that, and here's the main idea for today. You know, deep in the heart of every single one of our souls, when you get apart from all the superficial stuff, when you ask the soul, what's the way to get to heaven? Many people wonder, how do I get to heaven? What is a stairway to heaven? How can I be sure that when I breathe my last breath on this earth, that I will be on my way to heaven and spend eternity there? Who knows? Maybe you're sitting here right now, one of our campuses. Maybe you're watching online, and the truth of the matter, if someone were to ask you right now, how do you get to heaven? What's a stairway to heaven? There might be some of us who may not know how to answer that. And honestly, in your heart, you're wondering, ooh, makes me wonder, how can I know for sure the way to heaven? So folks, we're gonna find out today from an ancient story in the book of Genesis chapter 28, all right? So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 28 at all campuses. You can follow in our listening guides. You can write down the following notes as well as in our app. And today, folks, I have two important thoughts on the way to heaven. Christ Fellowship, are you ready to dive into God's word? Let me hear you at all campuses. Come on. Amen. So write this down as point number one. Here we go. Listen, the first thing we need to know is that God's great promise to humanity is that he will open a path to heaven. Now, folks, listen to what God's word says in Genesis chapter 28. It says, so Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. Now pause right there and slip into the scene for just a moment. Because last week we learned that after Jacob deceived his father and he obtained, right, his older brother's blessing. We learned that from Pastor Carlos. He taught us last week. Did a great job. But what's amazing, though, is that right after that, Esau, his older brother, his older twin brother, was so upset that he was determined to kill his twin brother. And so once his father and mother found out, Isaac and Rebekah, what they wanted to be sure is that Jacob was safe, so they sent him off back to a place called Haran. If you recall, that's what Rebekah's family's from, but if you recall, that's actually the place where Abraham came from. Y'all remember that at the beginning of this year? Yeah, that place, Haran, is where Abraham came back from. And so at that juncture, Isaac and Rebekah want to send his son back to that place, not only to protect him from Isaac, from Esau, but also so he'll find a godly wife and through there have a child and the lineage would continue. And so what we see is that now Jacob is fleeing Esau, right? And he's running away and he's making his way, as you can tell, and he gets to a point right about the place where Bethel was, yeah, right there. So he's early on in his journey. And folks, what we see in the passage is that there's an imagery where he's just running through the wilderness, almost like fleeing, right? And the night is about to start setting and it starts to set. And folks, he's in a place almost where he's destitute. He has nothing, to the point that the only thing he has is to place a rock under his head for a pillow. But folks, the moment that he falls asleep, listen carefully, something monumental happens. In fact, listen to what it says in Genesis chapter 28. It says, and he dreamed, and behold, there was a what, church family? A what? Yeah, a ladder. There was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to what? Yeah, the heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, and the land in which you lie, in which you're laying in right now, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, Jacob, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land that you're laying on. For I will not leave you until I have done what I promised to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of what? Heaven. Of heaven. Now, church, listen, this dream was a monumental moment in the progressive revelation of redemptive history. You see, up to this point, God had revealed to Abraham, Jacob's grandfather, and to Isaac, his father, the fact that, that through them, there will be a great nation that would come about. And through that nation, all the families on earth shall be blessed. But here's the thing. Even though God had told his grandfather and his father the fact that through him, right, there's going to be a great nation and all the families on earth will be blessed, God had not yet revealed how all the families were going to be blessed. And so at this juncture, not only does God reveal the next step of redemptive history, but he also reaffirms to Jacob his promise to him and his family. And folks, the way that our God decided to do this is by a dream. And in that dream, Jacob, as he's laying down, he sees a ladder that goes all the way to heaven and angels descending and ascending upon it. And folks, why is this so important? Here it is. Because at this, up to this point in history, write this down as letter A, man himself could not open a path to heaven. The church, travel back with me from Genesis 28 all the way back to Genesis chapter 11 at the Tower of Babel. Now, if you recall last year in the fall, at the end of a series called Skeptics Welcome, I taught on the Tower of Babel, and so a full teaching on it. So if you want to go back and just refresh, and you can go back after service. But folks, what's interesting is that the language here, the Tower of Babel, is very similar to the dream of Jacob. In fact, this is what it says in Genesis 11. It says, and they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And then they said, come, let us build a city and a tower with its top in the what? In the heavens. So folks, notice, early on, man was not only trying to make a name for himself, but he was trying to build a tower that would get him closer to heaven. Why? Because in that culture, in those times, there was a view that the higher you were, the closer you were to God, and the more blessings you would receive. That's why in many ancient cultures, like the pyramids in Central America, South America, usually high towers, because in their mind, the higher you went up, the closer you were to God. But folks, if you recall from last fall, they were never able to finish that tower. God disrupted them. And folks, even from that point, listen, a man has been trying to reach heavens one way, shape, or form. In fact, after man rebelled in the Garden of Eden and got kicked out, not only did they lose the presence of God, right? They almost, in a sense, lost their way to heaven. And from that moment on, listen, they've been trying to somehow get closer to heaven. And the Tower of Babel is a great example of man's effort to try to get to heaven. But here's the issue. Throughout the years, man has come up with many different tactics, many different approaches in order to get to heaven. So for example, in the religion of Islam, let's suppose, they've in a sense created their own tower in a sense, where it has five crucial steps in order to get to heaven. As you can see, it all starts with a profession of faith. Then you need to do a certain prayers, then the certain alms, then you have to do fasting, and eventually you have to do a pilgrimage. And you see, according to that to that view, the more you do of these, the higher you're climbing and getting closer to heaven. You know, when you look at Buddhism, for example, Buddhism has created their own set of towers, not with five steps, but with eight steps. In fact, they call it the Eightfold Path to Enlightenment. And so in order to be able to get to their heaven, to their enlightenment, there's eight different steps, different types of mindsets that you need to adopt. For example, you need to start with a right view, right resolve. Then you need to go to right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and eventually right concentration. You see, in their view, the more you're able to adopt these right types of mentality, you're getting closer to their heaven, which is enlightenment. When you look at Judaism, they don't have five steps, they don't have eight steps, they have 613 steps. And in their mind, the more that they abide by the Old Testament law, 613 laws, as long as they're just abiding by those things, the more they get closer and closer to heaven. And for example, Catholicism, right? Many of us have backgrounds in Catholicism, living here in Miami, but they've developed their own steps to heaven. For example, it all starts with some sort of infant ritual, like an infant baptism. Then afterwards, there's a moment, there's a confirmation of faith. And then the rest of their life, it's almost like you live a life to confirm that faith, and you attend church on important days, you think don't harm anybody, right, good to others, live a moral life. And so the reality is that Catholicism, right, has its steps. The more you do these and the higher you go, the closer you are to get into heaven. But folks, here's what I want you to understand. It doesn't matter which view of these views you adopt. Here's the issue. Here's the main issue. And we learned this on Easter weekend. That at the end of the day, listen, there is something called sin, right? That doesn't matter which way, man way to get to heaven, there is a ceiling called sin that man cannot break through. And so it doesn't matter how many rituals, how many traditions, how many right mindsets, how many pilgrimages, it does not matter because at the end of the day, we have a thing called sin that separates us from God for all eternity and in ourselves, we have no hope. But here's the good news of the gospel, which is gonna be seen through this passage. In fact, you ready? Write this down, letter B. Jacob's dream is showing us that God would open a path himself to heaven. Now, as you read scripture, it's important for you to understand how God places certain chapters in the way he reveals history. So for example, in Genesis chapter 3, right? In Genesis chapter 1, God creates us perfect, right? Without sin. In Genesis chapter 3, we sin and we lose the presence of God. And from all that point on, up to chapter 11 is the greatest visual of man trying to reach heaven. But here's what's interesting. After man fails to reach heaven in the Tower of Babel, in Genesis chapter 12, the very next chapter, God calls a man named Abraham and begins to reveal his plan of how he is going to open a path for us to reach to heaven. And folks, listen, here's what's unique about this ladder that we see in Jacob's dream. What's unique about it is that opposed to all the different ladders that man has tried to create, listen, we are not gonna have to strive to go up that ladder. Quite the opposite. What we see is that God would come down to us. Can I get an amen to that? And listen carefully to what it says. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 13, it says this. It says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And folks, here's what I want you to understand. The better translation of that phrase above it, the better translation is that he stood next to Jacob. And so what we see in this dream is that after he sees his dream, almost in a sense, God comes down this ladder, stands next to Jacob, and begins to remind him of all the promises of him and how he is going to be faithful to fulfill all those promises into the future. And so what we see is that God himself would come down to us. Can I get an amen to that? And folks, here is where we see the fulfillment of that. Write this down as big number two. And that is that God would open a path to heaven through Jesus Christ. Now, if you fast forward 2,000 years, right, from that moment where Jacob was dreaming on that in that wilderness, if you fast forward 2,000 years later, we get to the life of Jesus. And we see in John chapter 1 the fulfillment of this odd dream that Jacob had 2,000 years back. Which by the way, one of the reasons that we have been as a church have been going through the book of Genesis and really like learning all these great Old Testament stories that we find in scripture is because one of the things I would like to do is elevate our Bible literacy. And what I've seen among all types of Christians really is that so many people know the story of Jesus, they know the concepts of God, but they're not really aware of all these Old Testament stories. And here's what happens when we're not aware of these amazing stories found in the Old Testament, then you cannot really fully understand the New Testament. Because many of the stories in the New Testament always point back to specific moments in the Old Testament, and the better that we understand those stories, the better we will understand the New Testament. Yeah, and one of the this story right here is such a great example that the more you know the Old Testament, the better you will understand the New Testament. In fact, listen to what happens in John chapter 1 in the life of our Lord. He said this. He said, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You see, Nazareth didn't have the best reputation then. It wasn't a very godly city, quite the opposite. But Philip said to him, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Now that was key phrasing because if you all remember, Israel through Jacob was started through deception. But in this Israelite, Nathanael, he was a straight shooter. He was an honest man. There was no deceit in him. And then Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. In other words, Nathanael, in the lowest moment of your life, when no one was around, I saw you. And then Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? Listen, you will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And I love it because no doubt Nathanael grew up as a little boy in Hebrew school. And every time that he would sit down to hear all these Old Testament stories, he knew very well the story of his forefather Jacob, who in the middle of the wilderness saw a dream of a ladder with angels descending and ascending on it. And our Lord looked into his eyes and said, he who Jacob dreamed of is fulfilled in me. In fact, just so that you can see a better visual of how this happened, take a look from the scene from the series called The Chosen.
This is a good night. You know who stands beside you there?
This is my friend, Nathanael.
Yes, the truth teller.
I'm sorry?
Man is often deceitful. And Israel began with Jacob, a bit of a deceiver, yes?
Yes.
But one of the great things about you is you are a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit.
What did you say about me? What is this? How do you know me?
I have known you long before Philip called you to come and see. Don't look at him, look at me. When you were in your lowest moment, and you were alone, I did not turn my face from you. I saw you under the fig tree.
I knew it.
Well, that didn't take long.
He doesn't mess around.
Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You are going to see many greater things than that. Like Jacob, you are going to see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's me, by the way.
Yeah, I got that.
Good. I know you like to be clear.
Yeah, you gotta love that, right? And you know, that young man, Nathaniel, from that moment on, he would begin to follow our Lord. And later on, he would hear Jesus proclaim these words. He would say, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No one comes to the Father. No one gets to heaven except through me. See, here's the uniqueness of our Lord. When other false religious teacher throughout this world would say, I know the way. Oh, I know truth. Oh, I know how to live life. In other words, when they would say, come, listen, I know the stairway to heaven. Our Lord said, listen, he said, no, I don't know the way. I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. You see, child of God, listen carefully. Your Savior doesn't show you the stairway to heaven. No, he is the stairway to heaven himself. And folks, listen, the moment that our Lord laid down on that cross and he stretched his arms willingly and was nailed to the cross to suffer from our sin, for my sin, for your shame and my shame. The moment that he stretched out his arm and paid for our sins on the cross, he broke the barrier called sin. And folks, he made a way for sinful men on earth to come to holy God in heaven. And you see, through faith and faith alone, we can partake, we can enter into the path of heaven, we can join ourselves to Christ and be confident that when we breathe the last breath of our lives, we will spend eternity with God, because our God died for our sins and he made a way for sinful man to get to holy God in heaven. Can we praise God today for that? And folks, let me end with this. You know, some of us came into church, and the reality is that your hearts are troubled. You're sitting here right now, and you have trouble at home. There's trouble in your marriage. You have trouble at school. You have trouble in a relationship. You have trouble with your finances, your troubled heart, with your health. And the reality is, listen, that you're probably sitting here thinking, what does this even mean? How can I benefit? A stairway to heaven, Jesus, how can I? Omar, if you only knew the trouble that I'm going in my heart, how much troubled my heart is. Well, listen, this is exactly, today's teaching is exactly what your troubled heart needed to hear. In fact, right before Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, listen to what he said. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Is your heart troubled? And then he says this, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. And Thomas, one of his disciples, said, Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, that young man, Nathaniel, he would go on to live a life full of trouble. And it will culminate on him being martyred for his faith, on that man who said, I saw you under the fig tree. But you know, throughout his life, he knew that his troubles were just temporary, because his Lord had made a way. and his future is secured. Listen, yes, the Lord knows what you're going through right now. He will sustain you, he will carry you, he will guide you. But make no mistake, these troubles in life are temporary. Your future is secured, and goodness will follow you all the days of your life until eventually you see him face to face. Can we praise God today for that? Because folks, listen, there's no better way to know that God made a way, that God made a path, that our future is secured. There's no better way to end than to sing a song of praise, amen? So go ahead and stand up with me at all campuses right now. And let me pray for us as we get ready to sing, and then I'll come back to conclude. Let me pray for us. Father God, we are just so grateful, God. Lord, that you made a way. That, Lord, that dream that Jacob had 4,000 years ago was fulfilled in your son. And today, Lord, we are experiencing the blessing of that dream. You've made a way. You've broken the barrier of sin. You've connected sinful man to holy God. And Father, we thank you. And we're confident now that as we go through our lives until we see you face to face in the highs and lows, we know that the goodness of God will follow us every day until we see you face to face. So thank you, God, for loving us. And thank you, God, for doing everything for us. We love you. It's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's people say, amen. Amen. Come on, family. Let's sing a song of praise to the Lord now.